Well, we're going to be talking about rest for the next couple of weeks because I think it's a really important thing. And as we start approaching the summer, as a community, we're actually going to be taking a rest and what that looks like and what it means to rest. And we'll hopefully be able to journey that together. So stay tuned for that. But today I wanted to talk about the idea of rest, most specifically about the idea of breathing. Okay. See, breathing is a very elemental, just kind of a natural thing that we do. We don't really think about it. You've been breathing this whole time, hopefully, right? And it's not something you're consciously doing. It just happens. You breathe in, you breathe out. It's the first thing that babies do when they're born. This baby right here, Maya, is definitely breathing really well. And what's so dumbfounding is that the older we get, the less we actually take a step back and we forget how to breathe. And we actually develop bad habits, and most of us actually don't breathe properly anymore. Babies breathe properly. If you look at them, if you see a baby sleep, you see them breathe, they actually breathe really properly. But as we grow older, we just develop habits and we just don't breathe properly. If you have been to an acupuncturist or you've been to yoga or just kind of any of the kind of the holistic practices or just kind of meditative practices, it's never about like which poses you do. That, those are all different things you could do, but or needles that you stick into your everywhere in your body. But I remember going to one and just say, you know what? Probably the best thing you could do, if better than all the needles, is to just sit and breathe. So what is breathing? Do we know how to breathe? I've been doing Bikram yoga lately for the last 4 months, thanks to Marcia, who introduced that to me. And if you don't know Bikram yoga, it's hot yoga. You go in there, it's a room that's the heat is jacked up to 110 degrees at least. So you're in a room 110 degrees with 50 people or so. It's 100% humidity. So the moment you walk in, you're like sweating bullets already. Okay, and it's just the air is really thick, and there's a kind of a smell because of that, and there's just a lot of things that go into it, and then so you start doing all these poses, and when you do all the poses, there's some poses that are pretty crazy, and you're not sure if you could do it, but out of all the poses that you do, I thought, for me, like I wasn't able to touch my toes, and now I can actually wrap my my palm around my toes, and those are all great, but for me, the hardest pose, which is actually the easiest pose, is called dead body pose, or what they call Savasana, which means you actually just lie down and just breathe. And it's the hardest thing to do because your body just wants to move around, your body just wants to do something. But probably the best pose that you could do is just sit and breathe. And I guess the question is, do we do that? How often do we just sit and breathe? Normal breathing, that what God's intended for us, is that when you start, you breathe from your stomach, okay? You breathe out through your stomach. You breathe in through your nose, and your stomach expands. Your diaphragm goes up, and you breathe out and exhale. All right. So we practice that really quick. Turn to your neighbor and then just watch them breathe and see if they know how to breathe. Are they breathing through their mouth or their nose? All right. So from our breathing, we should be getting they say about 99% of our energy should come from our breathing. Most of us, studies have shown, have only access about 10 to 20% of our energy through our breathing. And it's no wonder why we're just tired all the time, right? In fact, when we're stressed or when we're moving too fast, we're thinking too much, our body actually start we start taking shorter breaths, and we actually start breathing just with our chest, or we actually just hold our breath. How many of you like hold your breath quite a bit, and you're just like awesome. All of a sudden, where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not breathing for some reason. There's actually a study called email apnea, where like studies have shown when people check email, they actually stop breathing until they hear the ding. It's a really weird thing. I don't know. Next time you check email, just notice that. Like, they studies have shown majority of people actually stop breathing while their emails come in, or their Blackberries. It's just an interesting thing. But normally we just inhale just enough to get by. We're not breathing deeply enough to remove the toxins in our body. Doctors have said that a lot of the stress-related diseases is due to the fact that there's just so much toxins that built in the lower half of our lungs, and that it just causes our cells to work harder, and you know, we just our body just gets too tired. It says that your kidneys begin to reabsorb sodium, and your body becomes acidic. So most people actually just don't breathe enough to clean out like the lower portions of their lungs, and so they're sluggish and tired all the time. So here's the thing, you know, life moves fast for us, and probably the one thing that we neglect and we just don't think about much is that we neglect to breathe properly. It's just such an elemental part of our lives, but something that we neglect most often. Life moves so fast that in the span of 24 hours, Jack Bauer could like save the U.S. from a terrorist attack. You know, for those who watch food shows like Top Chef or Iron Chef and Chopped, you know, any fans out there of that? Yeah, okay. Well, you know, cooking should be kind of a therapeutic, time-consuming kind of thing, where the process of cooking is the longer time you take, the better flavors you get. But we like the shows where like they get 15 minutes and they have to produce like the best thing possible. And then we're, you know, so our culture just perpetuates like we need to do, we need to do things fast, we need to just kind of keep on doing rather than just breathing and take our time with everything. But you know, that's not too bizarre when we think about our own lives, right? You know, we cram our schedules with things. We're always about doing. When people ask us how we're doing, what do we say? Oh, busy. We got to do this, we got to do that. Got to take the kids to this, got to take my kids to that. Got this meeting, got that meeting. And you know, it's just, this is kind of culture that we live in. And our culture is actually more about doing than rather being. Even our vacations is about doing things that we normally don't get to do. And we're trying to do that, right? We're doing culture. And my challenge to you is this upcoming week, just take a notice how many times you use the word do. Or hear your kids. Maybe they're asking, what are we doing today, right? What do I do now? Like, keep aware of that. Like, how often do you, even in your mind, think about what you need to do? And I challenge you to think about how about the opposite of doing is just to be. Maybe ask that question for yourself this week. It's how can I just be this week? What would that look like? So instead of filling your calendar and seeing your to-do list with all these things to do, start making a list of, like, how do I just be this week? So that we can stop and enjoy the relationships that we have. That we can stop and enjoy our family. We can stop and just be and do nothing. Can we do that? We're going to be looking at a text today, kind of in the beginning of the Bible, just about the breath and breathing and what God has intended for us. So if you could turn to your Bibles, we're going to look at the creation narrative, Genesis. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. So if you have your Bibles, turn to that. If not, you can check the screen, turn to your neighbor, and read verses 4 through 7. All right. One thing I wanted to add is, you know, I'm saying all this stuff and you're thinking, oh, maybe I'm actually being more than doing. But no, I would say, like, I'm probably a culprit of that too. And I think as a pastoral staff, we end up, like everyone else, just do more doing rather than being. And so this is something that we need to hear as well. And we're trying to practice as well. If you open your Bibles, the first two chapters of Genesis is two creation accounts, two different versions of creation accounts. The first one is Genesis 1, and it's kind of the one that we're familiar with on the, you know, in the beginning, God created. Yeah. And, you know, it goes to day one, day two, day three, and just kind of, the creation account. And that, in that first chapter, you know, God is depicted as this, like, omnipotent, all-powerful, cosmo being that he just had to utter the word and things come to be. And so we get this really meta kind of macro look at creation. Genesis 2, we get a totally different look. It's kind of a more personal look where God almost feels like he comes down and focuses and comes onto the earth and kind of makes creation happen, like on a personal level. So verse 4, it says, "This is the count of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground." And then verse 7, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and a man became a living being." So we're going to be looking at verse 7, and it starts with the Lord God. And notice the author of Genesis writes the Lord, capital L, capital R, and capital D. It's kind of like, is he trying to emphasize, like, this is Lord God? I think the English language, you don't really get, like, kind of the nuances behind it. In Hebrew, that word Lord is a really, like, it jumps out to them in scripture, because this version of Lord is actually the most personal. It's kind of like God's, like, personal name that he has, and so it jumps out for them. The word for Lord in Hebrew is Yahweh. In the Hebrew language, the name of the Lord is spelled out as YHVH, or in Hebrew is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And that's God's personal name, is Yahweh. But in Hebrew culture, and even today's, in the Jewish culture, and many traditions, you can't utter his name because it's so sacred and so holy and so mysterious. So if you actually look at Hebrew scriptures, they actually replace that name with kind of a more common name for God, which is Elohim or Adonai, which is like my Lord or my God instead. Because the word Yahweh is just so, like, sacred that they can't even utter the name Lord. If you start studying Hebrew language, you'll soon find out that the letters Yod-Heh-Vav are the vowel sounds in the Hebrew language. And if you speak the Hebrew language, these vowel sounds just innately imitate the natural sounds of breathing. So Yod-Heh-Vav. It's like the normal sound of breathing. So the reason God's name is unpronounceable is because the name of God is literally what they say is the sound of breathing. Okay? Lawrence Kushner says that when the high priest entered the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, he had to do only one thing, which is utter the ineffable four-letter name of God, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. But the high priest went into the innermost sanctuary and simply just breathed. So for ancient Hebrews, God's name is so holy that you can't even say the name Yahweh. But paradoxically, every breath that they take, in essence, they're saying the name of God. Isn't that interesting? So for us, every breath that we take is, in essence, we're breathing the name of God. So for thousands of years, people understood that the physical breath is actually kind of a picture of a deeper reality, a spiritual reality, that we are, in essence, connected with God the Most High. In the Bible, the word for breath is ruah, which is the word for spirit. So when God says he's breathed life, the breath of life into us, he's breathing his spirit into his being. So, you know, for early Christians, they took a hold of this idea, and they understand that when they breathe, and just kind of holistically, like, the spirit of God dwells in them, and in their breath. The first thing that a baby does when they come out of the womb is what? They take their first breath. When you die, you take your last breath. So in essence, you come into this world saying the name of God, and you end this world breathing, saying the name of God. So that's why scripture says it is in him that we move and have, and move. It is in him that we move, we live, we have our being. So it is in Yahweh, it is in our breath that we move and live and have our being. So maybe the life God intended for us is not to fill our lives with more stuff to do or things to, but maybe it's just to just breathe deeply. Just realize that every breath we take, we're fully breathing the breath of God. We're breathing life. We're breathing the spirit. Maybe when Jesus talks about living life to the full, it's not about filling it with stuff. It's just a call to just breathe deeply and enjoy God. And it's intended for us. And that's what breath is. So maybe when someone's cursing at you on the road, and you just hear them, all these words coming out, maybe you could just say, oh, they're breathing in the name of God. I don't know what they're saying, but it sounds like they're breathing God. Maybe when couples fight or, you know, when you get angry, the rule of thumb what people encourage you to do is what? Take a deep breath before you say anything, because when you have shortness of breath, that's what triggers physically our fight and flight reaction, and that's why we fight and some words come out that we don't want them to come out. So I challenge you, breathe deeply once before you get angry, say anything. I want to see if you can breathe deeply and say like 50 words of curse words at the same time. No, you can't, because your body just innately just kind of calms down. You're not, and maybe there's some connection between that. I don't know. Just thought about that. So let's go back to the verse. Verse 7 says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So he breathed into. So if you could just picture God, just God coming down. There's this mud and clay that was formed into the likeness of a man, and he breathes into. So what God is doing is God is exhaling. So God exhales the breath of life, the spirit, into the human. And what does Adam do? He inhales. So for us, taking a breath always starts with inhaling before we could exhale. So at the onset, life begins with us inhaling. Life begins with us receiving God, receiving the gift of life before we can exhale. And this is, and God's created us with this rhythmic pattern that we have to inhale and exhale, inhale, exhale. We can't break that cycle. We can't go inhale, 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 you know, and then exhale, 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 exhale. You can't do that. You gotta inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. So this rhythm that we have first always starts with inhale, always starts with receiving. So the breath of God is a gift to us. So all we could do as our response is to receive it. So we are first of all receivers. You know, personally, we can't keep doing, you know, we can't be doing life and just keep exhaling. It's just like, I got to do, without you come to a point where you're just exhausted. You can't just exhale all the time. You have to, at some point, your body's going to tell you, if you don't do it yourself, you got to end up inhaling. And the question is, how often do you inhale fully? Are you receiving? Do you want to receive a good breath? Or is it just short breaths? Are you breathing in the fullness of life? Are you breathing in God? And then the question, sometimes people are like, well, how do I receive God more? And in 2 Timothy 3:16, God says that all scripture is God breath, God breathed. So that when you hear the word of God, it's like, even like today, as we're listening, it's not about my words, but when you hear God's words, are you receiving it? And when you receive it, does it give you life? And it should. As we exhale, you know, when we inhale oxygen, and when we exhale carbon dioxide and all this stuff, right? And what do we do when we exhale? Is we purge. We clean out what's not good in our body. So what that actually means is that when we exhale, what are we letting go in our lives? So when we receive, what are we receiving that's good for our lives? And when we exhale, what are we releasing? So questions are, what's stressing you? You know, what are things that are stressing you? What do you need to let go? Is there anything you need right now, just to breathe out? maybe we've just been doing the reverse. We've been inhaling things that are just not good for our body. We're inhaling carbon dioxide or inhaling toxic gas or something. You know, have you been in a car where just all the exhaust comes in and you had a recirc on? It's like you're inhaling like stuff that is just not good for you. You don't want to inhale that. But how do you exhale? And then we go back into your creation account. And this is the last point I have. And there's this notion that God breathed life into us, but it kind of took kind of a order of creation to have to happen before we could take our first breath. And if you go through Genesis 1, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. God created, and there was light, and then day, night. God created the skies, the vast expanse, the sea, the fishes, the plants. Everything was created, and everything had to be in order so that when he breathed life into us, we could take our first breath. So in essence, our first breath that we take involves our connection to creation, right? So we're interconnected with each other. We're interconnected with creation. That we can't breathe without realizing that creation and everything that God has put around us was set in place so that we can breathe. And the question is, do we see our breath as something that's shared, that's interconnected? We share it with people. Scripture in Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave the order to Adam and Eve that for you to take care of creation. I think sometimes we often, unfortunately, throughout history, we've seen it as like, well, God's given us creation. We could do whatever we want with it. And it just took the last few generations to realize, man, when we consume, when we do all this stuff to harm any part of the environment, like it affects us. It affects our breath. It affects when we do something here, it affects people, you know, in other parts of the world. And we're interconnected. And so what does it mean to share breath? We're in this room. There's only, you know, a certain amount of oxygen in this room. Like, I can't hoard it. I can't go around and just, like, take your breath from you, right? And just like, oh, that's my oxygen. I mean, you know, it's like once we think we own things, then we're not about seeing that our interconnectedness with others. And we're not seeing the breath of life and breath of God and everything. And that's a really interesting point, the fact that in creation, like, we could see the presence of God everywhere. We could see the presence of God in every person we meet. In Psalms, the psalmist writes that everything that has breath praise the Lord. But what does that look like? That when we, you know, kind of the popular phrase, can you stop and smell the roses? What does it look like for us just to stop and realize, well, take a look around. God is everywhere, because God's breath is everywhere. What does it look like for us to approach each other with that? You know, I grew up with the fact that I thought that God, because I believed in God, then God is with me. And if someone else does not know God, then I'm bringing God to the other person. You know, in essence, is that. But at the same time, I've never seen that this other person also has the breath of God in them. In creation, God says that I breathe life into you, and also that each person is created in the image of God. So how do we see people and just realize they have the essence of God in them? Rather than just seeing it's like, well, I got God and no one else does, and I, you know, that's my role. So they're interconnecting this and just seeing that God is kind of everywhere. And if we just breathe deeply, maybe we can experience God just in our daily life. As we walk to school, as we go to work. So the breath. Inhale, exhale, breathe deeply. Maybe we can experience God's presence. So close, I'd just like to lead us in an ancient spiritual practice called a breath prayer. And this breath prayer is just kind of a rhythmic breathing, and a lot of meditative practices uses some form of breath prayer because it gets us connected with our own breath and our own bodies, but at the same time being able to just remember and breathe in God's promises. So if you can, just sit kind of sit in a really, relaxed posture, and you touch your phones or anything. Just if it helps, just put your hands on your lap and just. Sometimes I like it just to help me to be aware to receive. Like I put my palm up, just kind of in a posture of receiving. And prayer is to be, oftentimes they see it, prayer is to be as natural as breathing. So just take some time, just breathing in and out deeply. And just know that physical breath is a scripture symbol of God's Spirit. The breath allows us to be praying always within. Breath prayers grew out of the Psalms. It was a way for individuals to remember the Psalms and allow the Psalms to flow naturally out of us, like breathing. And we're going to be receiving the Psalm from Psalms 46, which is, "Be still and know that I am God." So sit for a moment in silence. Breathe comfortably. Remember, deep breathing involves your entire torso, from your stomach to your diaphragm. Take three to four slow, deep breaths. If you know these words, just close your eyes and silently recall the words, "Be still and know that I am God." And allow these words to become in rhythm with your breath. So when you inhale, say, "Be still." And you exhale and know that I am God. Pause after each phrase. And take 3 or 4 deep breaths before moving to the next phrase. And each time, allowing the phrase to become in rhythm with your breath. For the next minute or two, just breathe. Become aware of the natural pauses in the ebb and flow of your breath. These are called still points. In Christian spirituality, the still point is identified as God's fullness. It is a point of rest. When we rest in God, there's nothing more to do, nothing to be, nowhere to go. When thoughts arise, just simply acknowledge them and let them pass. Not make judgments about them. And try not to take a ride with them or become involved. Thoughts will come and go. They don't have to be given any energy, named or held onto. Simply return to your breath and keep your awareness on the breath. Now return to the phrase from Psalms 46. As before, take 3 or 4 deep breaths before between phrases. And take this time as a community, let's just rest with God in the inhaling and the exhaling and the still points of each breath. When you're done, you can open your eyes.